We're about to celebrate in 4 days from today the Thanksgiving holiday here in America. It falls on the fourth Thursday of every November. And what is Thanksgiving? What is Thanksgiving? When you think of the word Thanksgiving, what comes to your mind? To my mind comes this: gratefulness, an attitude of gratitude, being appreciative. And, you know, we need to be thankful to others and to God ultimately. And so today I'm going to talk to you on thanks living towards God. Thanks living. In other words, living with a thankful attitude towards God, not just one day a year, but on a consistent basis. For the next few minutes, I want you to think about somebody in your life who had a positive impact on you. Maybe it was growing up. Maybe it was an uncle. Maybe it was an aunt. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a mom or a dad, a sister or a brother, somebody who believed in you, somebody who was there to encourage you, somebody on whose shoulder you could cry, somebody you could laugh with, somebody that said to you, I believe in you, you can make it. And that person really positively impacted your life. This Thanksgiving holiday, I encourage you this Thursday to communicate with that person. Maybe give them a phone call and tell them how grateful you are for them. You know, you might not be able to call them on the phone, but you might be able to write them an email and tell them how thankful you are for their influence in your life. And maybe you're able to write them just a short note and mail it to them. But communicate with that other human being how special they were, how special they are to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so I just wanted to give you that little note there on the side to try to do that this week. Think about somebody that you can thank on Thanksgiving Day. And ultimately, Thanksgiving is rooted in giving thanks to God. I want to kind of give us here a brief overview, just a real brief overview of the Thanksgiving holiday. And the modern Thanksgiving holiday traces its origins from a 1621 celebration at the Plymouth Plantation, where the Plymouth settlers held a harvest feast after a successful growing season. This was continued in later years, first as an impromptu religious observance and later as a civil tradition. So its origins are back from 1620, back to 1621, where they gave thanks to God. Okay, and another note here. The pilgrims held even a greater Thanksgiving celebration in 1623 after a switch from communal farming to privatized farming, a fast, a refreshing 14-day rain, which resulted in a larger harvest. Governor Bradford, let's see here, in Love's opinion, the 1623 Thanksgiving was significant because the order to recognize the event was from civil authority, Governor Bradford, and not from the church, making it likely the first civil recognition of Thanksgiving in New England. Referring to the 1623 harvest after the nearly catastrophic drought, Bradford wrote, so they were having a drought. Afterwards, the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair, warm weather as through His blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing, for which mercy and time convenient they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. By this time harvest was come, and instead of famine now God gave them plenty, for which they blessed God, and the effect of their particular planting was well seen, for all had pretty well, so as general want or famine had none been amongst them since to this day. Irregular thanksgivings continued after favorable events, and days of fasting after unfavorable ones. In the Plymouth tradition, a Thanksgiving Day was primarily a church observance rather than a feast day. But Thanksgiving Days did have a civil observance linked to the religious one, as in 1623. Gradually, an annual Thanksgiving after the harvest developed in the mid-17th century. So these settlers were going through a time of drought, no rain, and God gave them an awesome rain. He gave them an awesome harvest, and they set aside a day, a time of thanksgiving to God. So I'm here to tell you, friends, today that the Thanksgiving holiday we're about to celebrate here in the United States has its roots in giving thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth. And for the next few minutes, I want you to think about something good God has done for you. And think about something He's done for you today. Think about something He's done in the past, maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago. Think about something good God has done for you, a miracle that He's performed in your life, and thank Him for it in your heart or out loud with words. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to take a few responses here. People here wanting to thank God about something good He's done in their life. Anybody here want to give God thanks for something good he's done for you? Any hands out there? Any hands out there? Yes, sir. Real quick.
This may seem kind of strange, but I'm actually grateful to be homeless because God has helped me understand the role of people in my life and the fact that my professional life was isolating me. And I have more love now in my life than I did when I was working. So now I can take the benefit of that lesson forward with me for the rest of my life.
That's good. That's good. Okay, anybody else want to thank God for something good he's done for them recently or in the past? Yes, sir, real quick.
Yeah, thank God I didn't get arrested the other day when I was out there moving a camp.
He didn't get arrested.
I was trespassing.
Okay, anybody else want to thank God for something good in your life? Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Said, this might sound weird, but God has blessed me for being homeless. I too have really met a lot of cool people in here, and I look around, you know, and I'm over here having my own little kitty party, and I look around. This is awesome to me. I mean, together and the same, and
amen.
Shout and praise. It's
awesome. That's awesome. Okay, anybody else want to thank God for something good? How about the breath in your lungs? Some of the things we take for granted. How about your arms and legs? Your eyes and your ears. Okay, this woman has her hand up. Yes, ma'am.
It's given me an opportunity to witness to some people and encourage a lot of people and remind them that this is just a short season.
Yes.
In our lives. And God's always with us.
God's always with us.
Everything that we can out of this, just ask God daily, what is it you want me to know this day? What would you like me to do?
That's good. Okay, I want to thank God for something that happened about 14 years ago. It was late November of 1996. It had snowed out. There was ice on the ground. There was snow on the ground. Some of you may have heard this story before. And I was living in Broken Arrow with my parents at the time. And my mom had told me that night. She warned me. She said, Jonathan, you don't have to go to church tonight. The roads are dangerous. I went out anyway. On my way back from church, I hit a patch of ice at 101st in Delaware, going about 40, 45 miles an hour. And I got nervous and I did the wrong thing. I hit the brake and I started to spin, and eventually my truck flipped to the opposite side of the road. It landed on the passenger side. But I want to thank God that he gave me wisdom that day to wear my seatbelt. I was suspended, if you could picture it, in midair. I walked out of that truck with not a scratch on my body. Praise God. I want to thank God for saving my life physically at the age of 22. If God had not done it then, I wouldn't have been here today. But God, I just want to thank you for saving my life. And most of all, friends, I want to thank God for the gift of eternal life. That one day when I leave this earth, I'll be with Jesus and with God forevermore in heaven, forever and ever and ever. And you can have that same experience when you leave this earth. At the end, we'll have an altar call where you can give your life to Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life is the greatest gift in the universe. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, it says in Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let me say it again. Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. You know, the book of Psalms is interspersed with many scriptures concerning giving thanks to God, being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude toward God, the creator of heaven and earth. And friends, it's not enough to give God thanks just one day a year during the Thanksgiving holiday. We need to give God thanks every single day of our lives. In other words, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving just one day a year. Rather, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We live daily with an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude toward God. Amen?
Amen?
So as you go about life in the coming days, the coming weeks, the coming months, every single day that you go about daily life, think about one good thing that has happened to you that day and give God thanks for it. If you wake up in the morning, say, God, I thank you for giving me new life today. If you go to work that day, say, God, I thank you for giving me work today. God, I thank you for giving me oxygen in my lungs today. God, I thank you that you have given me a Bible that I can freely read here in the United States. Thank God for one good thing every single day. We're to live with an attitude of thanksgiving. We celebrate, or we are people of thanks living. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. I have an article here from USA Today. It was back in November of 08, and I'm just going to briefly summarize it, and it says this. Your health. Giving thanks can make you healthier and happier. Studies have been done that people who live with a thankful and grateful attitude on a consistent daily basis are healthier. Did you know that if you're thankful on a daily basis, it can lead to lower blood pressure? If you're thankful on a daily basis to others and to God and just being thankful on the inside, it can lead to reduced depression. Did you know a person who lives thankfully every day of their life has a more optimistic, positive outlook on life? That's what this article says. Your health. Giving thanks can make you healthier and happier. And friends, you might feel right now that your self-esteem has been damaged. You may feel so low that you can do a push-up under a penny. Well, friends, it's got to change. Instead of having a negative outlook on life and saying, poor me, and having a pity party every single day, I can't believe I'm stuck in this place. Why am I here? Instead of having that kind of an attitude, start thanking God for the things that you do have in your life. And as you start thanking God on a consistent basis, you will develop a more optimistic and positive outlook on life. Amen? Your self-esteem will be built. You might feel like a chicken right now, just in a chicken pen. You know, not being able to go anywhere with your life. But friends, if you start thanking God, you don't have to be a chicken anymore. If you start having this positive outlook on life by thanking God every day, you can start soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
Just start thanking Him on a consistent basis. Now, here's the question. What is thanksgiving to God an expression of? We're going to study Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, an awesome historical account. What is thanksgiving to God an expression of? Luke chapter 17. I love this passage. 10 healed of leprosy. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to verse 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said in verse 14, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Amazing. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Friends, these were 10 lepers. They had a skin disease. Their body parts were rotting away and falling off. And Jesus, the miracle-working God, showed up on the scene and he healed the 10 lepers. That's good news, isn't it? The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago can heal your body today. He can heal your finances today. He can heal whatever part of your life needs healing today. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so 10 lepers were healed by Jesus as he walked physically the streets of Israel. And the Word of God tells us that one, just one, came back and thanked him. Verse 16 of Luke 17. It says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. 1 out of 10 is what percentage?
10%.
It's 10%. It's too bad to say, but it's a reflection of society that a lot of people in society are not as thankful as they should be. 10%, a small percentage, are as thankful as they should be, like this Samaritan that was healed. Amen? And it says he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. One version says he thanked him over and over and over. He was like, Jesus, my body was falling apart. I was sick. I had a skin disease. And you healed me. And Jesus, I want to thank you. God, I want to thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He was so grateful in his heart for the miracle working power of God manifested in his life. It says he thanked him over and over. It showed a consistency of thanks. And friends, we're to be consistently thankful to God because we celebrate thanksgiving. We live with an attitude of thanksgiving towards God. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at verses 18 and 19. Let's back up to verse 17. Jesus asked, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Look at verses 18 and 19. Should I read them again? Because we're going to study these a little bit. Jesus said, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God, thanks to God, except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Jesus said, "Only one thanked me. Only one thanked God for the miracle." And then he says, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What is Jesus doing in verses 18 and 19? He's making a link. He's making a connection. What was Jesus trying to say? He said, one thanked me, and then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What was the link, the connection that Jesus was trying to make? Jesus was trying to say that thanksgiving, a thankful heart to God, is an expression of your faith in God. A thankful heart is an expression, a demonstration of your faith in the Almighty God. Remember, one thanked him, and Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving, is an expression, a demonstration of your faith in an Almighty God. So in your life, you might have been delivered from drugs and alcohol. You may have had victory over an addiction that has come from the hand of God. You know, you may have had a healing in your life physically. Maybe there was a broken relationship in your life that God has supernaturally reconciled. Maybe you were financially lacking and God has brought finances, brought a job into your life. So you were once in the pit and maybe you might be in the palace in some areas of your life. Friends, you need to be thankful to God about that good thing in your life that you've received, just like this leper who was healed. And when you thank God for the good thing, for the miracle in your life, that attitude of thanksgiving is like saying, "God, I've got great faith in you. God, I just know that I know that I know deep down on the inside that this good thing I've received, this miracle, this breakthrough, this turnaround in my life, God, has only come from your hand. And God, I thank you for it." And when you thank God for the miracle, for the good thing that he's given to you, it evidences, it demonstrates that you have faith in God. Amen?
Amen?
So might we say, might we modernize and apply this today to say this, that those who live consistently with a thankful attitude towards God are those who have strong faith in God. Might we say that those who live with a consistent daily attitude of thanksgiving towards God for the good thing that God has done for them are those who have strong and deep relationship with God, Creator of heaven and earth. Those who have an attitude of thanksgiving, not just one day a year, but every single day of the year, are those who know their God. Amen? Would you agree today? See, Jesus was making the link in verses 18 and 19 of Luke 17. A thankful heart is a demonstration of faith in a big God. Amen? So every single day, start thanking God for something good in your life. Maybe it's a son or daughter that you were out of relationship with, and that person has come back into your life. Start thanking God for it. When you thank God for it, it evidences your faith in God. It's your heart saying, "You know, God, I have faith in you. I know that that's what faith is, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the good thing that has come into your life has come from the hand of God." Amen?
Amen.
Okay, here. It's easy to give God thanks when things are going well. Would you agree? The Samaritan who was healed, all 10 of them were healed, but the one who gave thanks because there was an awesome miracle in his life. Would you agree? It's like, "God, thank you, Jesus, thank you for healing my sick body." But it's not as easy to give thanks to God when all is not going well in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. So what Paul the Apostle writes. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Remember, we just said a moment ago that thanking God for the miracle, for the good thing in your life, is an expression, a demonstration of your faith in God. Knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the good thing that has come into your life has come from the hand of God only. But at the same time, if you're going through a tough time in your life, you can start thanking God in the midst of the trial. Thanking God even in the tough time of your life, in the challenge, in the trial, in the tribulation, is still evidence, is still a demonstration of faith in a miracle-working God. Amen?
Amen?
So you may not have received a financial miracle. You might be believing for a financial miracle right now. You might be believing for healing in your body. Maybe your body is sick. Maybe you have a broken relationship. Maybe you're addicted to something in your life. In the midst of the low point in your life, in the midst of the challenge you're going through, start thanking God. Because as you thank God in the midst of that trial, it's a demonstration and expression of your faith in God, that God will bring you through. God will turn it around in your life. God is ready to give you a breakthrough. Amen?
Amen.
Just start thanking Him in the midst of the hardship you're going through. It's the key that unlocks the door to your deliverance. Is that making sense today? We're going to turn to Jonah, the prophet Jonah. How many here have ever read the prophet Jonah? It's an awesome book. It's four chapters long. That's funny, isn't it? Four chapters long. It's four chapters long. Read it sometime. It's in the Old Testament. Okay. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Okay, let's talk about Jonah here for a minute. God gave Jonah a mandate. He said, Jonah, I want you to preach repentance to the nation of Nineveh. And so Jonah decides to do his own thing. He decides to disobey the mandate, the command of God. Basically, Jonah was saying, God, away with your will and in with my will. So Jonah boards a ship and heads the opposite direction towards Tarshish. Okay, so he disobeyed God. You would agree, right? By his own making, there's a storm that arises on the seas. And we find in Jonah 1, verse 17, that God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. So we would agree that Jonah was going through a really tough experience in his life, right? Stuck in the belly of a whale. Could you imagine what it felt like to be in the belly of a whale? He was probably perspiring, sweating. It was smelly in that belly. I didn't mean to make it rhyme, all right? There was seaweed wrapped around his head, right? He was uncomfortable for 3 days and three nights. He was in a really tough spot in his life by his own making. But there was a key, because Jonah, at the end of chapter 2, was delivered from the belly of the whale. If you look at Jonah chapter 2, you might read that chapter. We're gonna jump down to verse 7.
It's a fish, right? Not a whale.
Great fish, a whale. We're not going to get involved over those details. But in verse 7 of Jonah 2, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Verse 9, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So he started singing songs of thanksgiving to God in the midst of the belly of the whale experience. Would you agree? Now look at verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What did Jonah receive in Jonah 2, verse 10? In Jonah 2, verse 10, Jonah received deliverance from the belly of the whale. What was the key that unlocked the door to Jonah's deliverance? In the midst of his distress, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his tribulation, what was Jonah doing before God? He was singing songs of thanksgiving, and God commanded the fish, the whale, and it spit Jonah onto dry land. Isn't that awesome? Friends, you might be in the belly of a whale experience today. And obviously, you're not physically in the belly of a whale. But you may be addicted to drugs. You may have family problems, lack of finances, ready to go to jail. You know, in depression, sorrow in your soul. You know, sickness in your body. Whatever your belly of the whale experience is, friends, I encourage you, like Jonah, start singing songs of thanksgiving to God, and God will command that fish in your life, and it will spit you onto dry lands. Amen? God is good all the time. Let me tell you, the God who delivered Jonah thousands of years ago is the same God that we serve today. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that rescued Jonah, that delivered Jonah, is the same God that can do it for you. When Jonah was singing songs of thanksgiving in verse 9, it was his expression, his demonstration to God that, God, I've got faith in you that you can deliver me from the belly of the whale. And God honored his faith. He commanded the fish to spit Jonah out. And he ended up on dry land. That's good, isn't it? Start singing songs of thanksgiving to God. Start thanking God in the midst of your trial. And God is going to command that fish in your life. And He is going to deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news?
Yes.
Let's look at another account. Paul and Silas. We've heard this preached before, but it bears repeating. Acts chapter 16. Heard the minister this morning preaching on Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas. Okay. Here's the story. Acts 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And jump down to verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So we would agree that Paul and Silas were in a pretty tough situation. They were in prison, amen?
Amen.
Their feet fastened in stocks. But in the midst of one of the greatest trials of their life, what were Paul and Silas doing? Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. They were delivered from prison. Friends, you might feel like you're in a prison in your life today, whatever that prison is. Like Paul and Silas, I encourage you in the midst of your tough situation, start praising God, start thanking God, start saying, "God, I thank you. I know, God, that you are a good God. You are the miracle worker. You can deliver me from this prison in my life." And I'm here to tell you, friends, that the prison door in your life will swing wide open and God will deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
He's a God of open doors, a God of open door miracles, and He wants to do one in your life. Just start thanking Him in the midst of it. The book of Psalms, read the book of Psalms. It's full of thanksgiving to God. Amen? Friends, right now you may be stuck in the prison of eternal loss, eternal damnation. That when you die and leave this earth, you don't know if you're going to heaven. You may be stuck in the prison of eternal loss today. Friends, eternal loss is so bad, it's eternal separation from God. I can't imagine being separated from my God for 5 minutes, let alone an eternity. You might be there today, friends, and you will have the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's all God is looking for. He's looking for you to place your faith in Jesus and say, "Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life." And then start thanking God for the gift of eternal life. Because once you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, guess what? Eternal life begins for you. So that when you step out from this earth, you go straight to heaven to be with Jesus forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
All God is looking for is your heart. He's looking for you to place faith in Jesus. And once you place faith in Jesus, you will be delivered from hell. Not only placing faith in Him as Savior, but as Lord. He wants to be the one in full charge of every single part of your life. Amen?
Amen.
And then just start thanking God, saying, God, I thank you. This is the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Leon, come and grace us. He's got a testimony.
Hello, everyone.
A word.
I was just thinking when Jonathan was talking that our hearts do not just beat off batteries. It's because God has placed life inside of us. And I was just thinking that there's a scripture that God gave me, Ephesians chapter 1, 19 through 23. Give thanks that we have become the body of Jesus Christ. And I got saved April 21st, 2009, and God delivered me from the spirit of carnality. For so many years, I was battling with 14 years of pornography addiction, anger, bitterness, and it even got to the point the devil had me in such a lost state of mind that I even told God to take away my eyesight if I don't give up this addiction of pornography and many other things. Well, when I did finally give my life to Christ, I went to the doctor and everything, and they were saying that, you know, they're starting to see that I'm going blind slightly. And I feel like this is still a testimony, because although I'm saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I feel like now God is showing me, hey, how can you show your faith towards me? He woke me up this morning not just to do whatever I want on my agenda, but to actually live for Him and give Him praise. Because it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. And so a lot of people, they say, well, I have faith, I believe in Jesus Christ, but yet they're not doing anything for God every single day that they wake up. And I thought about it, well, Jesus, He wasn't rich or anything like that. You can read Isaiah chapter 53, and they talk about that. And so I started thinking to myself, okay, God, maybe there's a reason why I turned down that $50,000 a year job to be the DJ for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the devil wanted me to, he's so upset at me for giving my life to Jesus Christ, he wanted to throw those type of opportunities at me. But God is standing there watching everything. It says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping a watch on the good and evil. And so God's watching everything that we do. So it's important that every day you wake up, even tomorrow, you can walk around and just share the love of God. Because like I said in Ephesians 1:19-23, give thanks that we have become the body of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross for all of our sins. Otherwise, we would be perishing in hell right now.
Amen.
But because He gave His only begotten Son, we have eternal life if we obey. It's easy for us to just say, hey, we're down with Jesus Christ, we'll live for Him. But the book of Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, everyone claims to know God, but they deny God by their lifestyle, by the way that they live. So it's important that every single second counts, like Jonathan has talked about in 1 Thessalonians 18. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. And so we have to stay in the Word. Joshua 1:8, meditate in the Word day and night. And we can't stop praying, because God deserves all of our glory and praise.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.